Have your Bibles turn with 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Blessings may go away. Make me a blessing. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup in the New Testament is my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, now get this, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. So the second coming of Christ is involved in the Lord's Supper. We think of it as a memorial of his death, which it is. And we should remember not only his death, but the death he died, of the crucifixion, of Calvary, of the suffering, of the intensity of what he went through for us to pay for our sin. The lamb didn't just walk up and fall over dead. The lamb had its throat cut and its blood drained out, and there was a sacrifice made, and then it was burned on the altar. Or the two goats, one was slain and the other was carried off, I understand, to be over a precipice or something so that it would never return, never come back, as the symbol of Christ being buried to take our sins away, never to be recalled against us again. And so this is a memorial for remembrance, but it is also to remember the Lord's death until he come. We'll be looking for his coming. We're reminded in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 and 21, Philippians before Colossians, chapter 3 and verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So we look for the Savior. We're citizens of heaven. This word conversation, when it is used quite often, means manner of living or lifestyle. And this particular word deals with the citizenship, the political position. And so our citizenship is in heaven today, and we're to look for Christ to come to take us to be with him in heaven forevermore. We're going to change our body. So we ought to be looking forward to that. Looking forward to an eternal body, a body like his body, be looking for the Lord to come. Back in 2 Corinthians, if you back up just a little bit, chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6. Scripture says, Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So confidence, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Whether we leave this body behind in the rapture to go be with the Lord and get a new body, or whether we die physically and ascend into heaven with the Lord, absent from the body is present with the Lord. That is a confidence that we can have. There is no soul sleep. We don't go to the grave and stay there. When we die, we go to be with the Lord. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. And so there's a confidence and a willingness to be absent from the body. We consider this a blessing, not something to fear, that God has planned it all out for us. But we walk by faith, not by sight. We don't get to experience death ahead of time to see what it's like, to decide do we want to do it or not, you see? It's a final thing. And so it's by faith that we accept God has it all planned out and a new body waiting for us in the presence of the Lord. Now, first of all, tonight, the coming of Jesus is to be a comfort for believers. It's to be something we should look forward to. It's to be something we should be expectant of. It's to be something that should be a comfort for us. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 through 18, where the Bible describes that Christ will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. We which are alive remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Thus shall we ever be with the Lord. Then verse 18 says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So that's a comfort for us that Jesus is coming to take us to heaven. Deliver us from this present evil world. It's a part of our reward for being believers that he's going to take us to heaven before the wrath of God comes upon this present world in which we live. And so we don't have to fear it in the sense of anxiety. It's something that we should be looking forward to and be comforted by the Word of God. Over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9 through 11, Scripture teaches God didn't appoint us to wrath, but to the coming of the Lord, to the completion of our salvation when Christ takes us home to heaven to be with Him. So it's a comfort if we die that we know we'll be present with the Lord. And it's a comfort that if we live until the coming of the Lord, that He's made provision for us to go to heaven to be with Him. Christ is preparing a place for us. That ought to be a comfort for us. We're not going to be left to wonder, where will we be? Jesus promised that in heaven He was preparing a place for us in the mansions of the Father's house, and that He would then come and receive us unto Himself, that where He is, there we will be also. That should be a great comfort to us to know there's a place prepared for us. Now, songwriters like to talk about our mansion over the hilltop and our mansion in glory, and people, get to thinking, well, I didn't have a mansion on earth, but I'm going to have one in heaven and all that, Well, the Bible doesn't really say each one of us is going to have an individual mansion, If you go out on Lake Wylie in a boat and take a pontoon boat and go on a little tour out there and see all those multi-million dollar homes out there on the lake, and you'll think, I'm going to have one like that when I get to heaven. Well, you might live in one like that when you get to heaven, but you don't need a mansion all your own when you get to heaven. Miss Paula, you don't need one so big you'd have to clean it all, do you? She just downsized. Hallelujah. She's telling that tonight. It's a lot easier to clean her house now than what it was before. And you see, God's preparing a place for us. And the place He's preparing for us, you know what it'll be? Just what we need. That's what it'll be exactly. Now, look, I like to tell the joke, when I get around. My son-in-law knows lawyers and knows about the law. I've told him this before that, a preacher died. He went to heaven, and they took him out to his little cabin, and gave him this cabin. And he set up in the cabin, and he said, I think I'll get out and walk around heaven, see how everybody's living, And he got out and walked around heaven, and he saw other people, their homes and everything. And some of them were like his, and he walked on down the street. And here's this gigantic mansion up on a hilltop with a street of gold paved up the way to it, and had a mailbox out on the front, and it said, Lawyer so-and-so, And a little while later, the preacher saw St. Peter, and he said, St. Peter, now I'm not complaining. I'm glad to be here, and thank God, and I've got a nice place. And he said, but I just wondered about the lawyer, that's got the big gigantic mansion. He said, well, up here, you're a preacher. Said, they're a dime a dozen, He said, we just got the one lawyer, So, don't mean that slanderously. It's a comfort to know that Christ is preparing a place for us. It'll be just what we need, and it will be far greater than anything we can imagine. It's built by God, not by the hands of man. Everything here on this earth rust, bust, and collect dust, but up in glory, it's eternal. It's preserved, secured for us, waiting on us when we get there. That ought to be a comfort to us. It should be a comfort. 1 John 3 tells us we're going to get a body like His body, a body that will be eternal, a body that will last forever and forever. And it won't be limited by the sins of this world with age and pain and suffering and sorrow. Matter of fact, the book of Revelation tells us after all the judgments are over, that God's going to wipe away all tears from the eyes of the believers, and there'll be no more suffering and no more pain and no more sickness and no more dying And all of those things will be passed away, and we'll live with him forever and forever in a new heaven and a new earth. That ought to be a comfort to us. Each time we observe the Lord's Supper, we're reminded of his death, of his burial, his resurrection, and of his coming again. The greatest part of the prophetic scriptures are based upon the return of Jesus Christ, because those things don't happen until first the Lord returns for the believers, and then it sets in order the prophetic future from that time forward. Daniel explains the tribulation will be in two periods of 3.5 years, a 7-year period of the tribulation, and that during that first half of that time, Antichrist comes to power, and all the nations are gathering against Israel, and all of those political things are taking place, and the mark of the beast and all that. But in that last 3.5 years, Revelation 6 through 19, the wrath of God is being poured out upon the earth. It'll be a horrible thing to experience for those who live during that time. Not many will live through the whole time. Thanks be unto God, there will be some who get saved. There'll be those that will preach the gospel in that time. But my friend, don't ever count on that. You need to be saved today while you have the opportunity. Not take a gamble with your life and your soul that you could wait until after the rapture takes place. Most of us believe that 2 Thessalonians tells us that those who reject the gospel now to continue to live in the pleasures of sin may not have another opportunity to be saved when that day comes. And so many of those that are saved in the tribulation may be those that are in the places of darkness today that have never had the gospel message presented like we've had the gospel message presented over and over and over again. So each time we observe, we're thinking about not only the Lord's death, but the Lord's coming again. We're reminded of prophetic scripture because of the coming of the Lord. And then it sets in motion those events that will transpire. Christ is coming. That ought to be a comforting hope for believers. It ought to be a purifying hope for believers, 1 John 3. It ought to be a motivating hope for believers. We should recognize the motivation to reach the lost while we have an opportunity. When Jesus comes to take us to heaven to be with him forevermore, we won't be carrying our cell phone and be able to call somebody and warn them that the day is at hand. We will go to be with the Lord, the Bible says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we'll be with the Lord. And our job here on earth as a witness will be over. And we won't be bothering people. We won't be passing out tracts. We won't be telling anybody they're going to hell if they don't receive Christ as their Savior. That witness will be gone. We'll go to be with the Lord. And people will be in grave danger. So the motivation for us is to reach people now, while we can, when we think about the coming of the Lord. It's an encouraging hope. James said, be patient, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. He compared it to a farmer being patient, waiting for the rains to come so his crops can grow. And we're to be patient, serving while we're waiting for the Lord to come. Brother Jim sent his phone up here, and boy, it was just filled with yellow and some red of the storm coming this way, and I don't know what the projection of time was, but it was showing it coming right over the top of us here into Charlotte and all. And the worst part of the storm may go a little east of us, and I hope it does, not for their sake, but you know, for our sake. Maybe to find a place to dump out somewhere where nobody lives, you know. But the storms are coming, the rains are coming. And when the coming of the Lord comes, it's like the farmer waiting for the rain to come so his crops grow. We're to be patient, serving, waiting for the Lord to come, just like waiting on the rain to come so the crops will grow. My sister spent a whole bunch of money. I believe she told us $90 or something like that for collards and broccoli. And she put collards and broccoli out. I mean, big old long row from here to that back door back there of collards. I didn't even know my sister ever ate a collard in her life, you know. And she planted all those. She come down there carrying one the other day. Me and Joy were outside. She came and said, y'all want some collards? And Joy said, I can't cook those things in my house. They stink too much, you know. And I said, we don't even really know how to cook them. You know, you got to wash them and trim all that heavy stem out, and you got to boil them, and you got to put some grease in them or butter or something, you know. And I said, I love to eat them if somebody really knows how to cook them, but we've never cooked them. We don't know anything about them. And my sister's got all those. They're still sitting up there in the garden, you know. I guess they're just going to go to the bed maybe. I don't know. She planted all that. The rains finally came, and they grew. She got a good crop, good stand of it, you know. But they're just there. If you want some collards, I bet you ask her. She'd be glad to give you some, you know. Peter wrote, this is not a hoax. This is not cunningly devised fables. That this is, we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the second coming of Christ is the same way. This is not a hoax, friend. The Bible says that for the end time to come, that there will be people that say, where's the promise of His coming? Mockers and scoffers. And people are saying that even still today. But the Lord will come, just as He's promised. He's not slack concerning His promises, but He's long-suffering, waiting for us to work, to reach the lost, to do the job He's called us to do before it's everlastingly too late. In Corinth, they observed the Lord's Supper. They looked back to His death. They looked forward to His return. Secondly, some are not comforted. Some are not motivated. Some are not encouraged. Some are not purified because they either refuse to believe or they've never been taught what the Bible teaches about the coming of the Lord. The visible, bodily return of Jesus Christ in premillennial fashion will take place as the Scripture teaches. But there are numerous denominational churches that do not teach this. They make an allegory of the book of Revelation. They make an allegory of many of the prophetic scriptures with either a lack to explain them or an unwillingness to believe them. And therefore, many churches do not teach the second coming of Christ in the rapture only for the end of the world. His coming is not when you die. The Lord will escort you to heaven for sure, but that's not what the second coming means. I stood in a Presbyterian church in Rock Hill, and the pastor of the church spoke about one of the good men in the church who had died, and he read from John chapter 14, and he said, this is when you die, that Jesus will come and take you unto Himself in the place that He's prepared for you. I don't believe that's what that scripture is referring to. I believe that's referring to the fact that Christ will return for the church, for the believers, to take us to heaven, to the place that He has prepared for us. Some say that the coming of the Lord took place at Pentecost, that that's when the Lord came to indwell the believer. The Holy Spirit came at Pentecost to indwell the believer, but that was not the second coming of Jesus Christ. The Scriptures make that abundantly clear. Some say the second coming is when a sinner is converted. That every time someone gets saved, that's Jesus coming again. Well, the Lord saves us by His grace, but His coming is outlined clearly that He'll come in the clouds to take the saved to heaven, and then He'll come again to the earth to fight the battle of Armageddon in the book of Revelation. And that's the second advent, and the rapture is the second coming, and these together make up the second coming of the Lord. Second coming for Armageddon. Some will believe the end of the world. I've heard people all my adult life talk about, you know, one day, boom, God's going to come, it's going to be all over. One day, Russia's going to launch all their nuclear weapons, and we're going to launch all our nuclear weapons. It's going to be the end of the world, it's going to be Armageddon, and that's going to be the end of the world. And there's people that believe that. There's people that think that. But hey, wait a minute. The Bible says there's some things going to take place before that happens, my friend. You know, there may be wars and rumors of wars until the end of time, but that doesn't bring about God's plan for the end of the age. God's got a way that He's going to do these things, and He's revealed them unto us in the Scriptures. Some don't believe in the rapture. They say the word rapture is not in the Bible. Well, the word Bible is not really in the Bible, you know. The word Trinity is not in the Bible. But the word rapture, the meaning of the rapture, is found in 1 Thessalonians 4:17. In the Latin translation, it uses the word rapto. And that is the taking away, the snatching away, the catching away of the believers. Both the Greek word and the Latin word refer to that a forcible seizure that Christ will descend into the heavens and forcibly remove from Satan's realm all of his own. And the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. We'll go home to be with the Lord. Now, some teach different views about the Lord's return. We believe in a premillennial, pre-tribulational rapture, with a premillennial return of the Lord Jesus Christ to set up his kingdom for 1,000 years, millennial being 1,000. Well, there are those that believe a post-millennial teaching. The Southern Baptist denomination used to teach that in their seminaries until about World War II. And a lot of their people believed that Hitler was the Antichrist. And when World War II was over, that they were going to usher in the millennial kingdom and the Lord could come back and the whole world would get saved. And so they really put forth a great push of evangelism to get the world converted so the Lord could return at the end. But over a period of time, they began to see that was not the case. And that really wasn't biblical theology. And so they began to change. Now, still there are those that hold a post-millennial teaching that will convert the world to Christ and then Jesus will come back. You see, that's the greatest fundraising tool that an organization can use. For believers to feel if they give enough money to reach people, then Jesus would be able to come back, you see. You can help Jesus come back. Just keep giving enough money. PTL, 700 Club, they all are post-millennial in their doctrinal teaching. So that if they can convert the world to Christ, then Jesus could come back. So keep sending in those big bucks so we can convert the world to Christ. Only problem is it's not biblical. It's just not true. And there was actually a very sincere pastor in Toronto, Canada, had one of the largest churches in the country. It was one of the largest giving mission churches in the world. They gave 50% of their income to missions. And their whole motivation was they were post-millennial. They thought they'd win the world to Christ through missions and then Jesus could come back and rule and reign. Well, we don't have to wait for that to happen, friends. Christ is going to come and take us to heaven to be with him forevermore. And it'll be before the kingdom. There'll be a pre-tribulational rapture when we go to be with the Lord, then the tribulation, and then Christ will fight Armageddon, and then he's going to judge the nations and then set up his kingdom for 1,000 years, and Revelation speaks of that 1,000 years in chapter 20. And then after that, the great white throne judgment, and then we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth where we'll dwell with him forever and forever. Thirdly, for believers to believe in the imminent return of Christ, we see the importance of godly living, knowing that he could come at any time. I won't ask you to turn there unless you want to. Romans 13 and verse number 11. The Bible reminds us it's high time to awake out of sleep, for the hour is at hand. Our salvation is nearer than when we believe. Every day, our salvation is nearer to completion in the coming of the Lord. And so it's time to turn away from sinful things. It's time to put on the armor of light. It's time to get ready to meet the Lord. It's time to be careful of how we're living. In Revelation chapter 1, twice, the Bible tells us in chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, that these things must take place soon, that the hour is at hand. And so the time is near, not referring to the fact that any minute it could have taken place through all these years. It was not predicted by a date and time, but it's predicted that we should always be ready because it could take place at any time. The completion of our salvation is nearer than ever before. There's not much time left to prepare. I believe world events show us very clearly, like the wind rustling through the mulberry trees helped Israel get ready for battle, and the shaking of the swords was time for war. I think the world events are helping us to see the day and the hours coming. I think that the Lord said he rebuked the people of his day, saying the sailors know what the weather is going to be like by looking at the color of the sky, but you don't see the signs of the times and understand what is before you. As believers, we should be seeing the signs of the times and believing that Jesus could come at any time. The day is at hand. Therefore, we are to cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. We're to get out of the sinful associations and walk the straight and narrow path. We're to see the works of darkness for what they are, that believers should not be a part of. We should separate ourselves from sinful behavior. We should renew putting on the armor of God. We should have our behavior revealing that we're looking and longing for the coming of the Lord, ready for Jesus to come at any time. Putting on the light so we can show others the way out of darkness and into His marvelous light. We ought to be pursuing the goal of becoming like Jesus Christ. We're never going to make it, of course. We're human. But we are to pursue that goal. We should seek to be like Him. God would have His Holy Spirit work through us and use the circumstances of life to mold us and shape us so that we become more and more like His Son. Our church attendance reveals our belief about the coming of the Lord. Hebrews 10:25 says we're not to be absent from the assembly, and we're supposed to encourage those that are, and so much the more seeing the day approaching. If we knew the Lord is coming, it's time for us to be the witness we ought to be, both to the saved who are out away from God and to the lost who've never been saved, while there's still an opportunity and while there's still a time. Let's say the Lord doesn't come. Well, let me help you to understand something. We've got a window of opportunity. We don't know how long that window's going to be open. We don't know how long our health is going to hold. We don't know how long our witness will be there. We don't know how long our friend has got. I mean, before we get to them, they could drop dead or get killed in a car wreck. There was two professional baseball players that got killed in a car wreck. One of them was in the Dominican Republic. He was a Dominican, and he was home visiting. His family got killed in a car wreck and didn't get to come back and make all the millions of dollars that he was going to make, you know. He got killed, a young man. And that could happen at any time with anybody. None of us knows what a day is going to bring forth. So the window of opportunity to reach people, while we have the health, while we have the strength, while our brain still has the knowledge to share the gospel with somebody, while they're still available to witness to them, we need to do all that we can do. The quality of our Christianity is revealed by our faithfulness unto the Lord and His church, by our service unto God, by our separation from sin, and by not making provision for our flesh. Our behavior ought to be a direct reflection of our belief. If we believe Jesus could come at any time, our behavior should reveal that in our walk on the straight and narrow path. Men who are drunken and in sexual sins, in strife and contention, in selfish ambition, and not serving the Lord's will, they need to wake up. They need to get up. They need to get out of darkness. They need to get into the light and put on the light of Christ. Make no opportunity for the flesh, because Christ's coming is at hand. It could happen at any time. When we observe the Lord's Supper, we do show His death until He returns. Are you looking for His coming? I know we are, but we don't think about it enough, do we? We certainly get reminded tonight in the message. We get reminded from Sunday to Sunday. We think about sometimes Sunday is the Lord's Day, where we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And we think about His coming again. We think about it when people die at funerals. We think about it in a lot of occasions. But we don't think about it all the time. We don't think about it every day. I guess I probably should get me some kind of a poster or something, you know. Jesus could come today, and I need to put that right in front of my desk and on the refrigerator and on the doorpost of my house and remind myself every day that today could be the day of the coming of the Lord. Are we looking for His coming? I don't know how many of us have ever walked out in the night and looked up in the clouds, you know. Looked up in the sky in the day. Sometimes in the daytime, the clouds make some pretty pictures, you know. Look up. Is He coming? He's coming one day. I'm just looking up just in case, you know. I'm not going to miss the shout, but I'm just looking just in case. Looking for His coming. Are you listening for the shout? I hear something every once in a while like an explosion. Boom! Shakes you a little bit, you know. Man, that could have been the coming of the Lord. I mean, that could have been the shout. That could have been us ready to go up and be with the Lord. And people are caught up in this world, and they're not preparing, they're not looking, they're not listening. They're just so busy living life. They're just, you know, we're so stressed with all the things of this world and demands of our time and the jobs and the payment, the bills and the children and the grandchildren and their needs and all of those things that we just don't take the time to stop and think and look and listen. They talk about stop and smell the roses. Hey, you better stop and look in the heavens and think about Jesus coming again. Those flowers, you know, you like flowers, that's okay, you know. Don't send me any when I die. Send some money to missions. Don't send me any flowers, you know. Get somebody saved because of it. Are you longing for a new body and to be in the presence of the Lord? Looking, listening, longing. Some of us getting older and having aches and pains are longing for a new body.
Amen.
Arthritis, old injuries, the hardships of life, the aches and pains. You know, you get my age, a lot of people don't sleep good. Now, last night, after we went to the men's conference and I didn't sleep in the motel room, I fell asleep, 7:30, 8 o'clock last night? I see my wife, when I put that shawl over myself in the recliner, she'd get up and go to the bedroom and watch television. She knows I'm about to start going, you know, so she got up and left. I said, hey, I'm going to sleep. She turned the light off for me. And man, I bet she didn't get to the bedroom. I was asleep. And I slept till 2 o'clock, 5 or 6 hours straight. I never do that. And when I woke up, I took all the rest of my medicine. It took me an hour or two, but I got back to sleep again for a little while. And it was much more restful. I've had a little more energy today with having a pretty good night's sleep. And the aches and pains when I was up there in the hotel room sleeping in a bed, I put a pillow between my legs because my knees hurt. And I'd lay over on my right side and I get propped. I had four pillows and a king size bed, so there was no reason I couldn't get propped up, you know. I was propped up and I'd sleep a little bit and I'd wake up and I'd turn over on my left side and that left shoulder was operated on. It'd go to sleep and start hurting. I'd wake up. I put the pillow up under my legs this way, my knees up, you know, trying to sleep, get the weight off those knees. And the aches and the pains, one day we're going to get a new body. And it won't have any aches and pains. It won't grow old. It won't have arthritis and all those kind of problems. Some folks have heart trouble, can't breathe. I mean, I don't have any problems compared to some people. I go to the hospital every once in a while and I see somebody that's got just horrible health condition and I tell the Lord, Lord, forgive me. I don't have anything to complain about. I pray for this person with what they have going on in life. Are you longing for the new body and to be in the presence of the Lord? Are you living in the light of His return and leaving the darkness and the works thereof? Are you learning more and more about Him, getting prepared to go to heaven to be with the Lord? So let us confess our sins and forsake the darkness and return to the straight and narrow path. And let us warn the lost while we have opportunity, because the Lord's going to call us home. And when He does, our job's going to be over. So we're going to have an invitation, and as we do, we invite you, if you want to come up here or right where you stand, to pray and make sure our hearts are clean before we observe between us and the Lord. So let's stand together. Father, we love You. We thank You for Your word. Thank You that You promised that You're coming again. thank you the promises of a new body, the promise of a new heaven and a new earth and all eternity with the Lord just because we believed on Jesus Christ as our Savior. So, Father, help us to be mindful and looking and longing and listening. It helps me learning more about you and helps to be a witness to others while we have opportunity. We thank you for the faithfulness of your people in Jesus' name.